Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Suvarna Varna He Mangal.
Suvarna Varna He Mangal.
Varangas Chandanangadi.
Varangas Chandanangadi.
Sanyasa Krishchama Chanto.
Sanyasa Krishchama Chanto.
Nista Shanti Parayana.
Nista Shanti Parayana.
Suvarna.
Suvarna.
Of gold.
Of gold.
Varna,
Varna,
having the color.
Hema Anga,
whose body was like molten gold.
Vara Anga,
having a most beautiful body.
Chandana Angadi,
whose body was smeared with sandalwood.
Sannyasa Krit.
Practicing the renounced order of life.
Shama.
Equipoise.
Shanta.
Peaceful.
Nishta.
Devotion.
Shanti.
And of peace.
Parayana.
The highest resort. Translation. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. Purport. This is a verse from the Mahabharata. Dana Dharma Vishnu Sahasra Nama Stotra. In his commentary on the Vishnu Sahasra Nama called the Namarta Sutta, Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan, commenting upon this verse, asserts that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the evidence of the Upanishads. He explains that Suvarna Varna means a golden complexion. He also quotes the Vedic injunction, Yada Pashya Pashyate Rukma Varnam Kataram Isham Pudusham Brahmayonim Mundaka Upanishad. Rukma Varnam Kataram Isham refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as having a complexion, the color of molten gold. Pudusham means the Supreme Lord, and Brahmayonim indicates that he is also the Supreme Brahman. This evidence, too, proves that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Another meaning of the description of the Lord as having a golden hue is that Lord Chaitanya's personality is as fascinating as gold is attractive. Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan has explained that the word Varanga means exquisitely beautiful. Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, leaving aside his householder life, to preach his mission. He has equanimity in different senses. First, he describes the confidential truth of the Personality of Godhead. And second, he satisfies everyone by knowledge and attachment to Krishna. He is peaceful because he renounces all topics not related to the service of Krishna. Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan has explained that the word nishta indicates his being rigidly fixed in chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya subdued all disturbing opponents of devotional service, especially the monists, who are actually averse to the personal feature of the Supreme Lord. Translation, repeat after me, please. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful. And his body, smeared with a pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order. And he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion. For he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. Om Ajnanachimananda Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivatsani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. The air should especially be filled with the sounds of the Maha Mantra, because that is the way that Srila Gaura Hari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared in this world. He arranged to appear at the time of an eclipse, during which all of Navadvip was in the Ganga chanting Hare Krishna. So in that way, Lord Chaitanya shows from his very appearance in this world that he is Sankirtana Pavartaka. He's the initiator, the inaugurator of the congregational chanting of Hare Krishna, which is the most effective way for spiritual realization in this dense age of darkness. In this early chapter in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the postgraduate study to even Srimad Bhagavatam, yet at the same time, as we often explain, it is also Srimad Bhagavatam because so many Bhagavatam verses are quoted. In these early chapters of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, wants to firmly establish who is Krishna and who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because you cannot understand one without the other. Now, that may be a surprise for many of you coming from Bharat, coming from India. You may know a little about Krishna. Most of the time, whatever baggage persons in India have inherited about Krishna is a misconception. But not only in India is there a problem in understanding Krishna, but who has heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the precise, shastric, scientific way? Most of the reason why there's so much misunderstanding about Krishna in India is because people try to approach Krishna or discuss Krishna without going through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Doing it that way is a dead end, because this age is so confused, so problematic, that if you try to understand Krishna without the help of Lord Chaitanya, you'll become bewildered. Then we look at the Western world, where there is very little idea of who is Krishna. In parts of the Western world where people talk about God, not in Australia, but USA, they claim to be a Christian country. People talk about God, but they have very little understanding of what is God. And certainly, they have not heard about Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada commented when he left India to begin his global International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He pointed out that although there's so much sinful activity in the Western world, of course now that tsunami of sinful activity has hit India also, but at that time, 40, 50 years ago, the West was unique in its focus on bad karma. But Srila Prabhupada commented that because they have no prior misconceptions about Krishna, it's easier to teach them about Krishna. Whereas when he was in India, he had to deal with so many misconceptions about Krishna. Krishna cheated in the Kurukshetra war. He wrongly arranged that Karna be slayed. Krishna dances with others' wives in the Rasa Leela. So many misconceptions. Whereas in the West, there was none. So Srila Prabhupada's strategy was to make Krishna consciousness a success outside of India and then bring it back to India and point out to the Indians, just see. The Americans, the Europeans, the Australians, they're taking to bhakti. What about you? There, just to give you some understanding, there is a classical piano school in Vienna, Austria. And it has two rates of tuition. You're charged one fee if you have taken piano lessons before, and another fee if you have never taken piano lessons before. Those who have taken piano lessons before pay more. Because the teacher has to unlearn them of all their prior conceptions, techniques, and so on. And those who have never taken piano lessons pay less. So similarly, when it comes to understanding Krishna, those from India often bring so much concocted baggage, impersonalistic conceptions. Beyond Krishna is the impersonal Brahman. Krishna is a very beautiful manifestation of the impersonal Brahman. Although Krishna clearly says otherwise in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Brahmano hi pratishtham, I'm the basis of the impersonal Brahman. It's based on me. What else? Krishna is one amongst the devas. The devas are all like portals to the ultimate reality. Choose whatever doorway you like. Vishnu, Krishna, Durga, Brahma, Shiva, doesn't matter. Worship someone. So there's so much misunderstanding and inherited concocted baggage. But who knows of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So that is the problem in understanding Krishna. Whereas when Srila Prabhupada brought Krishna Bhakti outside of India to the rest of the world, he brought Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together. Therefore, everything clicked so amazingly. So many of you here have been brought up with stories from the Mahabharata. Or you've seen on television the Mahabharata. Or your grandmother, when you were at her knees, taught you stories from the Mahabharata. Yes? But how many of you know that in the Mahabharata, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioned? This verse we're chanting this morning is from Mahabharata. Some of you know about the Vishnu Sahasra Nama Stotra, 1,000 names of Vishnu in the Mahabharata. But did you know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there? So Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is first establishing the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so you can understand why he appeared in this world. The appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very purposeful, significant, and also confidential. You have to understand Krishna and his pastimes. How Krishna appeared in this world, not simply for cosmic duties, prachanaya sadhunam vanashaya chudaskatam, delivering the sadhus, annihilating the miscreants, yada yada dharma shagani bhavati bhakta, wherever and whenever there's dharma shagani, a decline in dharma or imbalance in human affairs, whenever that happens, Krishna appears. As he explains in Bhagavad Gita, utside me loka nakuryam chedam. If I don't come to the material world, it could be said that I'm the blame for all kinds of demoniac craziness. Because ultimately Krishna is the Father. So he explains in the Gita that he comes to set things right. But is that the main purpose of Krishna? When you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you find out Krishna has another motivation besides cosmic maintenance. That cosmic maintenance work is done by Vishnu. Of course, when Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, appears, Vishnu is there within him. All the avatars appear with Krishna because Krishna is the original, Adi Purush. But Krishna's main purpose is not cosmic maintenance. It is to enjoy his Vrindavan pastimes. And to show the world that this is the true standard of pleasure. So it just so happens that the time for cosmic maintenance work, it's like roadworks, that time coincided with Krishna's desire to demonstrate his Vrindavan pastimes. Because through those pastimes, he'll attract the conditioned souls back to Godhead. But also, Krishna's thinking, as this chapter reveals, the whole world knows about official religion at best. That's as high as it goes. Ritualistic duties, scriptural injunctions. But who knows about spontaneous love of me, especially that spontaneous love on the standard of the residents of Vrindavan? Who knows the flavor of relating to me in the four rasas, servitude, friendship, parental love, conjugal love? Who knows about that? At best, the material world features awe and reverence towards God. Oh God, how great you are. I remember going to church as a little kid, and my sister would get up in front of the whole church congregation. She was just, what, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years old. And she would sing, "Thus sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When I see the oceans, when I see the mountains, then I see how great God is." So that's like Shantara. Neutral vision of the Supreme. The greatness, the opulence, the majesty. Certainly, it's a good beginning. One Bible verse I learned as a child. All the children in the family had to memorize Bible verses. And then sometimes at the church, there would be competitions, special evening program. And all the families would come with their children. And then the little children, 4, 5, 6 years old, would get on the stage in the assembly hall of the church and recite Bible verses. And the parents would be very happy. Just like here, when the parents know that their children can recite a whole chapter of Bhagavad Gita, oh, they feel, oh, yes. So one of the verses I memorized as a five-year-old. You know any verses? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's very important in a church to instill fear in the congregation. So yes, the fear of God, that's true, is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't understand the authority of Vishnu, if you don't understand how you are totally dependent, trapped by material nature, which is operating under the direction of the Supreme Personality of God, if you don't understand that, then actually you're not a human being. So it is true that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Just like children are taught, you do something wrong, you'll be punished. But although the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, it is not the end of wisdom. And in the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are dealing with Vedanta, the end of all Vedic knowledge, which is pure, spontaneous love of Krishna. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami reveals the deliberations of Krishna. Krishna's thinking before his appearance as Swayam Bhagavan in this world, Govinda. He's thinking. The whole world simply knows, at best, about religion and awe and reverence, scriptural injunctions, you must do this, you must do that. That's like saying a patient in the hospital only knows the medical prescriptions he has to follow. The doctor says, you can't do this, you can't do that, you must do this, you must do that. But the patient knows nothing about healthy life. So yes, it is important that the patient follows the medical prescriptions so the patient gets well. But shouldn't the patient have some idea of what healthy life is like so that he or she can aspire for that? So this is why Krishna is deliberating to himself. No one knows about that topmost portion of the spiritual world and what goes on there. No one knows the Brajabhava, the loving flavors of emotions in Braj. Krishna wants to demonstrate the relationships that exist beyond Shantaras, beyond any just neutral appreciation of the glories of God. Because when there is just neutral appreciation, oh, how great God is. Where's the service? Service means activity. Therefore, in the analysis of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the important relationships with the Supreme begin with dasya, servitude. That's active. Simply how great you are, how great you are. That is inactive. Just like, for example, if you have some family member, some spouse who appreciates you. Oh, you are so great. Oh, you are so wonderful. You like hearing it at first, right? But after a while, what do you say? Do something for me. Yes, it's true. Married men find that out very quickly, right? The men who are married, they think they'll get away with just appreciation. Of course, that's a great step forward. So they think they've solved the problem by giving the wife compliments. I have observed. Oh, you are so nice. Oh, you are so attractive. But after a while, they find out that's not enough. Because the other person is thinking, if I'm actually so great, if I'm actually so wonderful,
do something for me.
So Krishna, in revealing his deliberations, says that actually this love of the Supreme is made feeble. It's weakened by awe and reverence. Krishna likes the Brajaras, where the residents of Vrindavan, the Brijbasis, they don't even remember that Krishna is the Supreme. They just know he's the most wonderful friend, he's the most wonderful son, he's the most wonderful lover. Very rarely do they conceive or conceptualize or visualize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna likes that better, because there's more sweetness. Just like in the Leela, the pastimes of Vasudev Sutta, Krishna as the son of Vasudev, in Mathura, in Dwarka. There you have Leela that is mostly Aishvarya, opulence, with a trace of sweetness. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, gives the example about the Leela of Vasudev Sutta as an opulent mirror decorated with an attractive picture. So the main thing is the opulence of the mirror, and then there's this small, very attractive picture. In other words, opulence, and then there's a trace of sweetness. Whereas he describes Nanda Sutta Leela, the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, as like a very beautifully decorated curtain with some small mirrors at the bottom. So the main thing is the sweetness, and then there's a little opulence tossed in. Just like in Vrindavan, sometimes the residents see Krishna do amazing things, but they don't conclude he's the Supreme. Krishna can do inconceivable activities, but the residents of Vrindavan simply consider, oh, he's our little boy, he's our friend, he's our lover. So let's look at the situation from Krishna's point of view. He says that love of the Supreme is weakened by following scriptural injunctions, and that's it. Now, please be careful about this, because we don't want to become sahajiyas. A sahajiya is someone who takes everything cheaply. Oh, Krishna dances with the girls, I'll also dance with the girls. We don't have to follow any rules and regulations, just... There's a bit of that in India, and it's also come to the West. One very prominent author of pseudo-spiritual books in the Western world, I read with my own eyes, he said, when you choose a spiritual path, find that spiritual path that has practically no rules and regulations. Because rules and regulations push down on your shoulders and prevent you from flying up to the spiritual platform. Without rules and regulations, you just float to the spiritual plane. Whereas rules and regulations press down on you. So that should be your standard for finding spiritual life. So let's not misunderstand when Krishna says love for him is made weak by rules and regulations. He's pointing out something very exalted, far beyond material conception, far beyond material lifestyles, far beyond even punya, beyond pious activity. So this is how extraordinary is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is how extraordinary is the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Pamata Maha. You're dealing with something that's beyond dharma, religiosity, beyond artha, beyond economic affairs, beyond karma, beyond material gratification, even in a pious way, and even beyond moksha, beyond liberation from the material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, love of Krishna is actually in the fifth dimension. So Krishna is thinking to himself, I haven't demonstrated the most confidential truths about me. So therefore, he came as Shamsundar with his Brajalila. But then he noticed after he sufficiently demonstrated those pastimes and deliberated and disappeared from this world, he began to consider, no one understands. I said, surrender to me, and no one's doing that. Chaitanya Charitamrita reveals the deliberations of Krishna that after my mission was complete, demonstrating my enjoying pastimes, I notice that people, they don't get it. They don't understand me. They are not following my instruction to surrender to me. So therefore, in the Kali Yuga that comes after the appearance of Krishna at the end of Dwapara Yuga, in that Kali Yuga that comes next, Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute the flavor of Braja Prem and to explain it. This is very confidential. It's like a very rough example. It's like you going public and revealing all the intimate truths of your family life. How many of you would do that? Flood the world with knowledge of your intimate activities in your family affairs. But that is what Krishna does as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He floods the world with that and demonstrates by his own example how to taste that Braja Prem. Now you're saying, but isn't the main purpose of Lord Chaitanya's appearance to demonstrate the Yuga Dharma? Yes, that is a main purpose, but it's not the only purpose. This chapter says the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. The next chapter says the confidential reasons. One thing you have to bear in mind is a common mistake. Please avoid it. Don't think that external means inferior in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The external is wonderful, and the internal is wonderful. External means not the main purpose, but still a very important purpose, an all spiritual purpose. Sometimes those who take things cheaply, sahajiyas, say that all this outreach, this preaching, this endeavor to bring knowledge of bhakti to conditioned souls, that's external. The real thing is just to relish the Braja Prem. The external reasons of Lord Chaitanya's appearance are not inferior. It just means what is easily visible. The Harinam Sankirtan, the distribution is easily visible. But the internal affairs, the distribution of Braja Prem, that's hidden. So Krishna is deliberating to himself. First of all, remember, for a long time I haven't displayed my Vrindavan pastimes. And then, after he does that, he's thinking to himself, no one understands it. For a long time I haven't freely distributed the taste of those loving affairs in the four basic rasas. I haven't done that. So Krishna thinks to himself, let me come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he has an inner purpose that is most dear to him. What about my most beloved devotee? My eternal consort? He's thinking of Srimati Radharani. How does she love me so much? What's it like to be in her position as a lover of me? What is she tasting? What is the happiness she's experiencing? What are the qualities in me that she's relishing? I can't do that as Krishna. He has to become a devotee. As I often point out, so many people in this world want to be God. Here you see that God wants to be a devotee. He wants to join the bhakta program. But he can't do that as Krishna. Therefore, he allows himself to be overcome by a surge of emotions of Srimati Radharani. So that golden color of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means he's been overwhelmed by his taking upon himself the emotions of Srimati Radharani. So that is his main purpose. So he's doing two things at once, and we relish and worship both purposes. That is what Chaitanya Charitamrita will teach you. Both the external and the internal, we relish. So this verse from Mahabharata describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the purple sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. In other words, things become very peaceful when you get the Mayavadis to shut up. So that is a prime mission for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to silence the impersonalists who obliterate, who destroy the reality of loving affairs with Krishna. Because they don't accept that Krishna is the ultimate with his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Instead, like many of you from India have heard, that Krishna's varieties, they are very colorful, but beyond them is something else. What does Bhagavad Gita say? Mata prachalandanya, kinchid asti dinandaya. There's nothing beyond me. But in our minds, we concoct there's something beyond Krishna. Why did Lord Chaitanya take the renounced order? He's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is there for him to renounce? Yes, it's true that Lord Chaitanya could have accomplished his mission as a householder. But he decided, based on his own personal analysis, that it would be better for him to take the renounced order. He could be more effective in that way. Still at the same time, you're right to think that he could have done it as a householder. As this verse says, in his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the purple sandalwood, seems like molten gold. So he was decorated with sandalwood pulp as well as sandalwood armlets and bracelets. What was the main reason for Lord Chaitanya's decorations of opulence as Nimai Pandit? His decorations were part of his routine in dancing in Sankirtan. In his householder life, he was known as Vishvambara, the maintainer of the universe. So he's demonstrating to the whole universe how you can be maintained and nourished simply by chanting Hare Krishna. So those are the first 24 years of Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world, his householder leela. But then he wanted to demonstrate to the world that even in the most wonderful situation from the material point of view, you can walk away from it, and there's something beyond that. Lord Chaitanya's family life is beyond material conception in terms of how affectionate his mother was, How many of you think you had affectionate mothers? Raise your hands. You have no idea of the affection of Shakyamuni. And what about Lord Chaitanya, his wife? First one disappeared, then another. He had another. You don't know what love is at home. Yet, Lord Chaitanya demonstrated, I've got it so good. No one has it any better than me in terms of family affection. No one comes near this in all of material existence, but still, I'm walking away from it. He wanted to set that standard. Because he calculated. You see, everything is personal, done with consideration, deliberation. We are sentient beings, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sentient. So Lord Chaitanya is calculating that. There are persons who don't understand me as Nimai Pandit. They don't respect me because they're contaminated by impersonalism, fruitive activities, absorbed in balancing the bad karma with the good karma. They don't take me seriously. But if I take sannyas, everyone will bow down, even just to do it out of duty. Whether there's appreciation or not, they bow down. And they'll get benefit because they're bowing down to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, let me take sannyas as an outreach tactic so that even those who are blasphemers, even the most materialistic university students, they will bow down to me. And that way there'll be some hope. So this was Lord Chaitanya's outreach strategy. So then you might say, but why did he take sannyas in a line coming from Shankara, Shankaracharya? That was the big thing in those days. So Lord Chaitanya knew that by taking sannyas in the Shankara line, people will respect me more as authorized. Of course, Lord Chaitanya was totally opposed to the conclusions of the impersonalists. But he was packaging his outreach in such a way to effectively deliver the most persons. It is one thing to explain knowledge of Krishna, relationships with Krishna. And it is another thing to demonstrate how to taste them. And that is how Lord Chaitanya spent the last 18 of his 48-year appearance in this world. The last 18 years were spent demonstrating the highest feelings of separation from Krishna. So again, let's review. How Lord Chaitanya is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see this verse from Mahabharata. There are verses in the Upanishads, quoted in the purport. There are verses in the Puranas. Lord Chaitanya is confidential in that it takes pure devotion to fully grasp his presence in the Shastra and his presence in this world. It is not that we are saying Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of some party sentiment. Or sometimes in India they think, oh, it's the Bengalis who think that way. Of course, you go to Bengal, and what do they say? He was a great saint. He was a great welfare worker. So even in Bengal, they don't understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in other parts of India, they just think, oh, it's that Bengali thing. They're very emotional. But here you see, Mahaprabhu is in the Shastra. He's there in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. What does Prahlad Maharaj say? Chana avatar, the hidden incarnation, covered incarnation. Not readily accessible or perceivable unless the acharyas point this out. Of course, there's a more confidential meaning to Lord Chaitanya being the Channa avatar, the hidden incarnation, as described by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto. The most confidential meaning is Lord Chaitanya is Krishna covered by the emotions of Srimati Radharani. That is the deepest understanding of what it means that he's the covered or hidden incarnation. What's covering him are the emotions of Krishna's dearest consort. And therefore, Krishna turns golden. And then, of course, in the 11th canto, he's there. 10th canto, he's there. So you can understand how Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from so many Shastric statements. And there's more. You can look at his activities, his inconceivable Krishna conscious realizations. You can look at his associates and see their uncommon activities and uncommon Krishna conscious realizations and experiences. So in all these various ways, you can understand that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His external activities set off a tsunami of chanting Hare Krishna. Often when we do outreach engagements, especially amongst Westerners, they want to know, why the Hare Krishna mantra? Why not just anything? That's the conception that if you're going to be spiritual, that means just anything. Yes, kirtan is nice. Scuba diving is nice. Skiing is nice. Why the stress on the Maha Mantra? So you have to take some time to explain to them prescription. Just like a doctor gives you a prescription, you take it to the chemist. You don't go to the chemist and say, just give me anything, whatever you like. No, there are prescriptions meant for various ailments and diseases and for achieving various results. So Lord Chaitanya, by being Sankirtana Pravartika, by being the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement, is demonstrating prescription, scientific precision, that for this particular age, with all its horrors, the most effective medicine is chanting Hare Krishna, especially congregationally. Nothing else works. No other tonics, no other therapies, no other medicines, no other supplements work. Why do people have a hard time understanding that? Because they don't understand that ultimately everything is personal. Just like you go to a doctor, it's personal. He says, you should take this. So you're relying on his abilities. It's a personal thing. Here's a prescription, take it to the chemist. Similarly, Krishna is the supreme physician in his role as Chaitanya Vaidya. Lord Chaitanya is the supreme physician. He says, here's the prescription. And what is our response? Why that? But what medicine are you taking anyway? Nothing, but why chant Hare Krishna? So that's the attitude in the West. And of course in India, they'll tell you, but there's so many ways. But which way are you doing? But there's so many ways. So in the West, they're generally doing nothing. In India, they're also doing nothing, but they have this idea there are so many ways. Take your medicine as prescribed by the doctor. So people often say, well, there's so many mantras. Why that? So we have to explain that there are different prescriptions for different ages. And in this most degraded time, the only medicine that's effective. Now, this is a subtle point. Please get it. We never say that chanting Hare Krishna is the only way. Our position is more nuanced. We say that chanting Hare Krishna is the only way that's effective presently. Subtle difference. The bottom line is actually the same. You can appear more liberal in this way, more ecumenical. For example, Jiva Goswami explains that during the Satya Yuga, when 90% of the population of Paramahansas, it wasn't even Varnashram Dharma, everyone was a transcendentalist. During that Satya Yuga time, there is still the presence of the Maha Mantra. But it's not the Yuga Dharma for Satya Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, it is the only prescription that works. So therefore, today, Gaur Purnima, you can express your gratitude to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives for bringing the wave of the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting and dancing. Lord Chaitanya is always chanting Hare Krishna or describing Krishna. Today we can humbly beg Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to increase our attachment for chanting Hare Krishna. To increase our attachment for Sankirtan, the congregational glorification of Krishna, in the form of chanting parties, in the form of book distribution, in the form of teaching about Krishna. Today we can replenish ourselves, rejuvenate ourselves, and recommit ourselves to the wave of Sankirtan. And by doing that, you begin to understand more Lord Chaitanya's confidential reasons for his appearance. The more you give Krishna to others, the more you start to understand Krishna in all his intimate truths. You get a clear understanding. So hopefully today we have explained that yes, Lord Chaitanya is there in the Shastra. It's not just an ISKCON thing. If I go to some Hindu mudir, there'll be all the gods on the altar. No mention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When I come to Melbourne Mahaprabhu one day, oh, it's ISKCON, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No, Lord Chaitanya is mentioned in the Shastra. His appearance is predicted. What does Gargarishi tell Nanda Maharaj during the Namakarna ceremony, the name-giving ceremony for Krishna, the first Janmashtami? He says, Shukla Raktas Tatapita Idainim Krishnatam Gata. This child has appeared with different colors. He was reddish. He was whitish. He's been yellow. Hint. And now he's blackish. For those of you who are Shastra fans, you always want to hear some details, new details. Yes, there are other appearances of the Yuga Avatar in Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya does not appear in every Kali Yuga, only once every day in Brahma. But in other Kali Yugas, there are Yuga Avatars, because the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna has to be distributed. But it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does that in every Kali Yuga. You happen to take birth in the Kali Yuga, the one Kali Yuga in the day of Lord Brahma that Lord Chaitanya appears in. Lord Brahma's day is what? 4,620,000,000 years, and his night is of the same duration. Amidst all that day and night, 8,640,000,000 years, amidst all that, you took birth in the one Kali Yuga that Lord Chaitanya appears. Other Kali Yugas also have Yuga avatars who inaugurate the chanting of Hare Krishna. But Srila Baladeva Vijaybhusan explains, in other Kali Yugas, they are Shaktivesh avatars, empowered jivas, sometimes having a bluish color, sometimes having a greenish color. Therefore, Baladeva Vijaybhusan explains that there is import to the often made statement that the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't appear in Kali Yuga. Often, he appears to do the Yuga Dharma work as an empowered jiva, and rarely does he appear as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even that rare appearance is channa, hidden, covered. So let us commit ourselves to understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we'll go on chanting, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare! 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 Are there any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. Maharaj, you mentioned that we bring inherited, concocted baggage to spiritual life, and that hinders our understanding and realization of genuine spiritual reality. So the question is that when we approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with our sensual contaminations or intellectual confusions or mundane religious habituations, how shall we approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this inherited concocted baggage?
Just absorb yourself in chanting and dancing, and all those concoctions will start to dissipate like the fog. This is why it's so important to have a daily individual practice of chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, with your intelligence bewildered by sophisticated Western marketing, what can you understand? All you know is, oh, this product is on sale. That's all you know. Buy two, get one free. That's how Kali Yuga intelligence functions. So understand how weak and debilitated intelligence is in this age of Kali, and take shelter of the sound vibration of chanting Hare Krishna. He's asking, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Kali Yuga, why did he take a molten gold complexion? Because he's Krishna, covered by the emotions of Srimati Radharani. She's golden. So Shamsundar took on her emotions and changed colors. It's a very confidential understanding of Lord Chaitanya. Are you ready for that? Oh, yeah. It's not something you just go out and discuss on the public streets. Just like your parents have confidential understandings. They haven't told you yet. But when you get older, you'll find out. that the stork didn't bring you. You know, this bird that flies and drops the baby in each house. They say like that in India too? No? It's a Western thing, you know. You know what a stork is? It's a bird. So the parents in the West, they tell their, when the children say, Mother, Father, how was I born? The parents say, the bird brought you and dropped you into a house. Then when the child becomes a teenager, he starts to understand. So similarly, as you progress in your spiritual life, especially with the help of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you start to understand Krishna's confidential purposes. You have a question too? He asks, if we worship Shiva and all the demigods, how can we know about Krishna? If you actually know what Lord Shiva instructs, you'll worship Krishna because he's the greatest devotee. And especially if you listen to what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you'll learn how to respect the demigods, but understand that Krishna is their source. This is why knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is so important. The confusion is caused by persons who think they know all about Shiva, Brahma, Durga, but they don't know Bhagavad Gita. That is the problem. So therefore we have so many Shastra classes here. So that everyone can have a chance to come up to speed with the most essential knowledge for human life. Yes?
You mentioned about how when we're trying to understand Krishna without approaching through Mahaprabhu, then it's a lot of confusion. Could you please elaborate or explain more about how do we approach Krishna through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How do we understand?
You follow Lord Chaitanya's instructions to chant Hare Krishna. And then if you want to be more serious, you take his instruction, which is the same as Krishna saying, surrender to me. Lord Chaitanya says, wherever you go, whomever you meet, teach the science of Krishna. That is surrender to Krishna. So no need to scratch your head wondering, how do I surrender to Krishna? You take Lord Chaitanya's instruction and distribute knowledge of Krishna. That's surrender to Krishna. Just like a few days ago, I think it was Wednesday night, we had such a wonderful program arranged by so many devotees here in the Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir community. We did a program at Melbourne Uni, no room in the auditorium, 600 students. Why do we do that? Because we're following Lord Chaitanya, who said, distribute the science of Krishna. That's the same as Krishna saying, surrender to me. So by following that order of Lord Chaitanya, we are surrendering to Krishna. Any questions from this side? You had a question?
Yeah. Like Mahaprabhu, he put so much emphasis on the congregational chanting, but sometimes it feels like there's no time before the services to go and chant together, to go for books or to go for Harinam. How to deal with it?
In order for the mass distribution of kirtan, which means not only music, but also talking about Krishna, distribution of knowledge of Krishna. In order for that to go on, so many backup activities are required. So there's a whole machine, a whole structure, a whole bureaucracy, organization for bringing things to the point of offering persons the fruits of Lava Krishna. It's a whole agricultural operation. Not just picking fruits and distributing the fruits, but you have to plant the seed, you have to nurture the plant. So many activities are required. So let us have a holistic vision of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. And naturally, we all want to have some part in personally distributing Krishna's glories. It's all right to think like that. At the same time, we should understand that so many backup activities are required. So you have to balance both things. And Krishna, in your heart, seeing your sincerity, will make all the necessary arrangements. In time, but we're very impatient. So we have discussed today the external and internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can understand Radha Krishna Leela in truth. Otherwise, the natural tendency of a conditioned soul is to drag into Radha Krishna Leela our material understandings and conceptions. So we begin with Bhagavad Gita, we proceed to Srimad Bhagavatam, and then there's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. You won't find any more exquisite literature in the universe. So please use your life effectively in understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and following his instruction. Thank you very much.